Type in banks near me into a search engine, and you're likely to see a long list of financial institutions, all of them with similar ownership, private ownership, stockholders, that sort of setup. And there is the standard concern that a bank owned by private investors will be looking out for those private investors before anyone else. So there's a movement to establish public banks, and that takes some legislation, like the law just put on the books in California. Assembly Bill 857, recently signed into law by Governor Newsom, allows for the creation of public banks. Let's hear from supporters how the bill and the banks would work. Sushil Jacob is with the California Public Banking Alliance. He's Senior Economic Justice Attorney. Sushil, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
David Cobb is with us as well from Cooperation Humboldt. He's also an attorney and a board member for CH. Thank you for joining us, David.
Thank you, Jeff.
So, Sushil, let's start with you. Tell us about the alliance and what it is working toward.
The alliance is working toward divesting public money from Wall Street banks so that they can be used for public good through a system of public banks.
All right, so public money divested from public banks. So what would that mean for we're basically talking about the money that comes from state and local governments?
Yes, we're talking about the deposits that most of our local governments have right now. They're using Wall Street banks as their bankers. So it would mean that we would create new types of banks that are nonprofit banks located in our communities that would be able to lend for community benefit.
All right, but these are not retail banks, is that right? So we're not talking about having potentially a new place with tellers and all that stuff to go enjoy the banking options there?
That's correct. Most likely they will not have retail services. The retail activities, the law requires the bank to partner with the local credit unions and community banks to provide retail. Unless there aren't any in the region where the bank is established.
So that's that. In that circumstance, they could provide some retail services?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So what are the advantages then? What are the major issues we see with wanting to divest public money from private banks?
Some of the main reasons are people are tired of hearing about the litany of abuses that Wall Street banks are purveying on Californians, and the cost of not acting is too high. People don't want their cities and counties to continue using Wells Fargo and Chase and Bank of America to bank their public deposits, and they would rather have a bank that is dedicated to the local community that their public deposits are being put into.
So let's talk about how this works at the local level. David Cobb, that brings you in here. We talked to a Cooperation Humboldt recently on a different matter. Remind people what you mean by the solidarity economy at Cooperation Humboldt.
Well, thank you, Jeff. For us at Cooperation Humboldt, we're dedicated to creating an economy that actually works for people and planet, putting those interests above mere profit. So for us, we're proving that we can meet all our needs to not just survive, but to thrive, live rich and meaningful lives without exploiting or oppressing other people, without allowing other people to exploit or oppress us, and here's key, that we can do this in an ecologically sustainable manner. So we know that to do this, to finance this, we're going to have to shift away from the private exploitive-based Wall Street banking system to a public banking model, and that's the reason that we are part of the California Alliance for Public Banking.
So if somebody's thinking, well, I know I have my deposits in my neighborhood bank for years, and yeah, it's part of a big corporation now, but I don't feel exploited. When you talk about it being exploitive, how?
Well, first of all, let's remember that, as Sushil correctly pointed out, the public banking model in California, the depositors are going to be local governments, fire districts, school districts, et cetera. So the premise of the question, I just want to point out, is not the same. Your retail banking needs will still be met by community banks, credit unions, or if you choose, even one of the Wall Street banks. But it is important that I address your question directly. So the current private banking model operates to benefit shareholders' interests. Those shareholders are almost always outside of the community, and their business model is to make a profit for those shareholders. And that's the difference between public banks. Literally, they are owned by the people of the state, city, community, and they are required to benefit the public by serving local community needs. So it really is democratic money.
All right, and thank you for the correction on that, by the way. I want to make sure we keep the retail part separate from the servicing of the local government's part. So what we're talking about here is, for example, you could have the city of Eureka, the county of Humboldt. These would all be doing their banking locally through a community bank, you're saying, a public bank?
Public bank. And, Jeff, you really hit upon the right idea. Let's focus specifically on the city of Eureka, where we are currently involved in financing several major infrastructure projects for a sewer system upgrade. There's always road work going on, and I bet every Jefferson Exchange listener right now is living in a community where those infrastructure projects are currently underway. Here's the kicker. Under the current private banking model, our governments have to go to usually big Wall Street banks and pay a premium for fees, but most importantly, for the interest, for the privilege of borrowing money to finance and pay for those projects. A public bank allows City of Eureka to go to the public bank to finance those projects. And what that means in real terms is it cuts out the middleman, it cuts out the private shareholders, it virtually eliminates the fees, but most importantly, the financing rates are slashed because in any project, usually up to 30-40% of the cost of that project is literally financing cost. Those costs get slashed. Not to completely zero, because there are still administrative costs, but they get slashed considerably.
We're talking about public banking here on the Jefferson Exchange with David Cobb from Cooperation Humboldt and Sushil Jacob from the California Public Banking Alliance. AB 857 just signed into law in California, allows the creation of public banks, but they're not generally retail banks. You can join the conversation here on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I'm going to take a phone call here from Mark in Reading. Welcome to the exchange.
Good morning. In what ways do public banks differ from credit unions, and what way do they differ from the North Dakota State Bank?
Okay, excellent question. Thanks for that, Mark. Would you take that to Sheil?
Yes. public banks are actually very similar to credit unions. The major difference is that credit unions are for normal people, you and I, to open accounts at. But the public bank, the person opening the account is not an individual. It's a local agency, a city or a county.
All right, and then when we talk about the initial startup of a bank, you know, whether if it's not dealing with the public, where does its initial capitalization come from? Where does it get the deposits that allow it to make loans? I mean, how does it get its initial nest egg, in essence?
The initial capitalization will come from the sponsor city. Let's say the city of Eureka is starting a public bank up in Humboldt County. The city would be providing the initial investment into the bank. That's the city's equity as shareholder of the bank, and then it also can withdraw its deposits from other banks and put them into this bank. So it's also the depositor in the bank. And then many other local agencies, the school district, the fire district, other towns and cities around there could start using this bank to deposit their funds.
All right, so you get a lot of public entities getting into this. Now, it could be owned by a single or multiple public entities. Is that right, Sushil?
Yes, multiple public agencies could come together in a variety of ways. We already have joint powers authorities, which is a way in which our local public agencies collaborate on big projects. They could do that with public banks, or they could, the banks are already separate nonprofit member corporations, so they could become members of the nonprofit corporation.
All right. So would there be any federal backing, like FDIC banks, the deposits at banks, and the credit union is, the credit unions have a separate backing agency, but similar structure?
Yes. The banks will have federal deposit insurance, so FDIC backing.
Okay. So let's come to you, David Cobb, again. I mean, as long as you've been talking about this in Humboldt County, are there, I mean, do you have the backing of the city, the county, some public entity there that is interested in creating a bank?
Well, Jeff, we do, and I'm very proud to say that the City Council of Eureka, California actually passed a resolution supporting AB 857 as it was making its way through legislation. It's important to note that that was a unanimous decision by the city council, so both the mayor and all our city council members voted in favor of that resolution of support. We have several county board of supervisors who are interested. Shashil, here's some breaking news for you over the Jefferson Exchange airwaves. I've already been contacted by one of our supervisors in Humboldt County who is eager to start talking to supervisors in Del Norte County and Lake County and Mendocino and Sonoma County, supervisor to supervisor. So I think the momentum that is happening here is being expressed not just by the grassroots activists, which is substantial, but elected officials are seeing the benefits of this common sense solution and are eager to apply those solutions.
Let's take another call here. We have Carter and Wolf Creek on the line. We're talking to Sushil Jacob and David Cobb about public banking in California. Welcome, Carter.
Good morning. I'm wondering whether these entities are going to be fractional reserve entities or not. And I forgot what my first question was that I said to the screener. There.
Will they be taxable? I think was your other question.
Yeah. Will in the state of Oregon, U.S. Bank is the depository for example, county taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And these new fiscal entities, will they be the repository for county taxes in California? And that a third question in this is, what's the relationship between these changes in banking in California in relationship to Oregon?
Okay, all good questions. Thanks for those, Carter. You want to take those on, Sushil Jacob?
Yeah, so I'm not actually familiar with what's happening with the changes in banking in Oregon, but to get to the heart of the question, yes, these will behave, they'll have the benefits of banking. So they will be licensed depository institutions, so they have a California state banking charter, and they'll be able to do lending in the community based on their deposit base.
Okay, and then what about the similarity? Actually, that was Mark's question about the Bank of North Dakota. Is it similar to that? Because this is what people often talk about, like, hey, we want this public bank, and the Bank of North Dakota is the one that always gets mentioned.
There's quite a few similarities with the Bank of North Dakota model. Primarily, the California banks will be primarily bankers' banks and wholesale banks, and the retail activities are not going to be conducted by California public banks. They'll continue to be conducted by your local credit unions. That model is similar to how the Bank of North Dakota operates. The Bank of North Dakota operates as a central bank to the local banks in the state of North Dakota. A primary difference here is that our banks are required to be separate nonprofit corporations with an independent board of directors, and they're required to have federal deposit insurance. These are additional protections to ensure that there's a system of checks and balances separating the banks and the bankers from the elected officials in the cities and counties who are creating the banks.
Sort of like the way the Federal Reserve Board is insulated now politically from branches of the federal government, in theory.
Correct. There's an insulation from political decisions because these are separate corporations with their own separate boards of directors, and they're also heavily regulated because they are required to have a state charter from the State Department of Business Oversight. They're required to get federal insurance, and as the banks are public agencies, it's a very important distinction. That's a huge difference between our current banking system. These banks are subject to open meeting laws and to the Public Records Act. So there's a lot of transparency involved with public banks.
David Cobb, is there an optimum size that you can see for a public bank? You mentioned the supervisors talking in several Northern California counties. Would the optimum size be a bank for one county, a bank for six counties? I mean, has much thought been given to that?
Well, Jeff, it's a great question, and we have given it a lot of thought. We're also a good time to point out that the current legislation in California actually is a pilot project. It's It's actually only going to go for 7 years. We have 10 licenses, only 2 licenses per year. So what we know is this. Let's just cut to the chase. We know that Los Angeles is going to get a public bank. We know that San Francisco is going to get a public bank. I suspect that San Jose, Sacramento will get public banks that are really municipal or city or maybe their county as well, right? But that means that other areas are going to need to create regional public banks. We are already working with folks in Humboldt and Del Norte and Lake and Mendocino and Sonoma, probably Marin. Our vision is to work together to create the regional bank of the North Coast of California to apply for one of those 10. But to answer your specific question, Jeff, the optimal size is all about capitalization. The reason that I mentioned L.A. and San Francisco and San Jose in my initial answer is because those places have so much economic activity at the governmental level that it makes sense for them to have a bank for their local needs. Communities like Eureka, California, or even Humboldt County, we're just not big enough to realistically capitalize a public bank. That's the reason that we'll need to create a regional agency, probably along the lines of a JPA, as Sushil already mentioned.
All right. So, yeah, I can see the point where a place like Los Angeles could probably have 2 banks in that one county, but at the North Coast, we're talking about the need for multiple organizations to pull together. So, Sushil, what's the timeline then? What's the soonest that that the first of these licenses will be allowed under the pilot project that is AB 857?
The bill, so the law goes into effect January 1st, 2020. And the state regulator has to implement regulations before any local agency can apply for a license from the state. They have to go through a local process. They have to put together a business plan, and they have to get that business plan approved by the local governing body. If it's a county, then it's the Board of Supervisors. That after it's approved locally, then it gets the county or city applies to the state for a charter and concurrently applies to the FDIC for federal deposit insurance. We think the timeline would be something like this. 2020, all of these local agencies across the state are putting together their business plans. By the end of 2020, they're submitting applications to the state regulator, and during 2021 is when charters will start to be issued. That's also hope with the caveat that the FDIC plays nice with us and cooperates.
All right. Well, several question marks there. But anyway, we shouldn't look for anything to happen concrete other than the law going into effect and the beginning of the paperwork next year and then possibly something the year afterwards. So some ground to cover yet in public banking in the state of California allowed under a pilot project by Assembly Bill 857. Sushil Jacob is with the California Public Banking Alliance. David Cobb from Cooperation Humboldt. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.